Ever wondered how an ordinary person with no financial background managed to turn $83,752 into over $2.3 million during the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression? Chris Camillo isn't a Wall Street insider or financial genius. He's an observant, everyday person who discovered something revolutionary. The most valuable investment insights come from real life, not financial statements. His book, Laughing at Wall Street, has become a cult favorite among self-directed investors, with readers reporting life-changing returns using his methods. Even billionaire Mark Cuban praised it as the investment book of a generation. What makes this approach so powerful is its accessibility. It doesn't require financial expertise, just the ability to spot trends in your everyday life before Wall Street catches on. Whether you're a parent noticing which toys are flying off shelves, a gamer recognizing the next big console, or simply someone who pays attention to changing consumer habits, Camillo reveals how your ordinary observations can translate into extraordinary profits. At 12 years old, Chris Camillo burst into his parents' bathroom waving the Wall Street Journal, convinced Toys R Us stock would soar before Christmas. His father delivered a lesson that would eventually become the foundation of his investment philosophy. The best time to buy is when you know something others don't. Taking this advice literally, young Chris closed his eyes and picked his first stock using Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe. Remarkably, that random energy company was acquired months later at double his purchase price. This beginner's luck proved both a blessing and a curse. Despite his father's warning not to let it go to his head, Chris became obsessed with investing. As a displaced 13-year-old Yankee in Texas following his family's relocation for his father's job at JCPenney, he was determined to use the stock market to buy his way back to his old life. After doubling his savings to nearly $1,000 with that first lucky pick, Chris calculated that repeating this success 10 times would make him a millionaire. He soon learned that wishful thinking wouldn't build his fortune. He needed a real strategy. Throughout his teenage years, he experimented with every investment approach he could find. Even once riding home balancing a silver bullion bar on his bicycle handlebars after reading about the Hunt family's attempt to corner the silver market. By 16, CNBC had replaced MTV as his channel of choice. These formative years taught Chris something invaluable. Understanding what drives other people to buy and sell stocks would eventually become the key to his investing success. His journey from childhood games to developing a revolutionary investment strategy shows how early experiences can shape our approach to financial decision-making in unexpected ways. Two methodologies drive nearly all Wall Street investment decisions: technical analysis and fundamental analysis. After testing both extensively, Chris discovered their significant limitations. Technical analysis, studying past market data to predict future stock movements, is seductive but fundamentally flawed. As Warren Buffett noted, if past history was all there was to the game, the richest people would be librarians. Chris experimented with every technical strategy imaginable, from double tops to Elliott waves, only to discover they're no better than random selection. The problem is that once patterns are identified, investors rush to exploit them, causing the patterns to disappear. Despite their entertaining charts and confident explanations on financial TV, technical analysts are essentially modern-day showmen, masking the shortfalls of their craft. Fundamental analysis examines a company's financials to determine its true value. Using the analogy of a family issuing stock, Chris explains how investment bankers would assess their situation. By selling 50% ownership, a family could fund education and eliminate debt, potentially generating excess income with half going to investors. But valuing this opportunity depends on numerous factors: growth potential, risk assessment, relationship stability, fiscal responsibility, and market comparisons. Wall Street often values companies anywhere from 5 to 40 times their annual profit based on such complex calculations. With no universally accepted valuation method, even seasoned analysts studying identical financials reach different conclusions. Unlike technical analysis, fundamental investing requires extreme patience, waiting for the market to eventually recognize a stock's true value, much like waiting for an unknown talent to be discovered. This approach demands both financial expertise and the temperament to compete with thousands of MBA-trained minds in a game measured in decades rather than months. The complexity and subjectivity of these traditional methods explain why even professional investors consistently underperform simple market indices. Wall Street's financial experts consistently fail at their primary job, despite their credentials and compensation. Jack Grubman, Salomon Smith Barney's $20 million-a-year telecom analyst, exemplifies this problem. His 2001 stock recommendations resulted in catastrophic losses, with 5 of 10 picks trading below $1 within a year and 3 filing for bankruptcy. Following all his buy recommendations would have resulted in a 74.5% loss. Like Hollywood, where nobody knows anything about what will succeed, Wall Street operates on guesswork despite its veneer of expertise. The evidence is damning. Professionally managed funds consistently underperform market indices by about 2% annually. From 2004 to 2008, simple index investments outperformed 72% of large-cap mutual funds, 76% of mid-cap funds, and 86% of small-cap funds, all while charging virtually no fees compared to the expensive expertise of professional managers. Even during market downturns, when professional management supposedly shines, most active funds underperformed indices. Harvard's endowment provides a stark example, losing $11 billion during the 2008 crash despite access to the world's top financial talent. Wall Street analysts enjoy cushy jobs despite their poor performance, similar to TV weathermen in sunny climates who can be consistently wrong yet well paid. The financial industry defies logic. We pay professionals who statistically perform worse than random stock selections. This contradicts how we approach other transactions, where we expect value for money. While the first publicly traded company appeared in 1602, the academic study of financial markets is surprisingly recent, with modern financial market studies beginning only in 1881 at Wharton. Early 1900s Wall Street was an unregulated playground for robber barons and powerful bankers who routinely exploited clients. The 401k plan, created by a 1978 tax code amendment, has become Wall Street's most effective gateway to American wallets. While financial advisors correctly tout 401ks for their company matching and tax deferral benefits, they rarely highlight that most plans limit investment options to fee-laden mutual funds. These no-load funds extract soft fees of 1 to 3% annually, which can reduce retirement portfolios by over 50% across 30 years. Chris's 9-year 401k experience illustrates this problem perfectly. These hidden fees nearly canceled out his employer's matching contributions while his funds consistently underperformed the market. Most people remain financially stagnant because they're hardwired to avoid risk. Studies show people typically reject even-odds gambles unless rewards are more than twice potential losses, as losing money triggers the brain's fear response. This creates a catch-22. The wealthy can afford to risk money that compounds their wealth, while average people remain financially stagnant. Chris proposes bypassing this psychological barrier by creating a special investing account funded with money you never intended to have, allowing bold investments without endangering financial security. He calls this other people's money, OPM, money that would normally be spent but is instead saved for investments. By viewing each dollar not at face value but at its $100 maximum investment potential, everyday savings from small lifestyle trade-offs become powerful investment capital. This mental shift transforms trivial savings into meaningful investment opportunities, as demonstrated when Chris delayed purchasing an HDTV, saving $400 that he viewed as potential $40,000. When he later transferred his $130,000 company 401k into a self-managed retirement account at Scottrade, he enthusiastically explained to his HR manager how switching from actively managed fee-based funds to an exchange-traded index fund would save him $2,340 annually in fees while being 72% more likely to outperform professionally managed funds. Financial gain and risk always go hand in hand, but with OPM funding investments, you can compartmentalize risk. Chris describes two distinct accounts: a conservative lockbox comprised of low-fee index funds for long-term financial security, and a risk-tolerant big money account funded by OPM for achieving near-term financial goals. Unlike his diversified lockbox, Chris often places over 50% of his big money account in a single company. These accounts should never compete for funds, allowing investors to approach big money investing with the same risk-tolerant mindset as financial titans. Chris's teenage experiences as an early bird at tag sales taught him to identify mispriced value before others could. By understanding that women pricing estate sales often undervalued masculine items, sports cards, vintage guitars, collectible trains, he developed a strategic advantage. He would preview promising sales, plan his exact movements, and rarely left empty-handed. This mindset of spotting information advantages became the foundation for his stock-picking success. Scientific breakthroughs like penicillin, silly putty, and post-it notes came from accidental discoveries that weren't truly accidental. Scientists cultivate serendipity through constant alertness to chance occurrences. As Louis Pasteur said, chance favors only the prepared mind. This same ability to detect game-changing shifts in information has powered Chris's investment success by uncovering opportunities in everyday life observations. Investment professionals crunch numbers and analyze financials, but often miss crucial real-world information that renders their analysis worthless. Chris illustrates this with examples of a beach house purchase ruined by an unsightly neighbor's boat and his parents' convertible purchase that didn't account for the model being discontinued. Wall Street's valuation methods are similarly flawed by relying exclusively on established channels rather than off-the-radar information. Chris's approach is refreshingly simple: buy upon discovering game-changing information unknown to Wall Street, and sell when that information becomes widely accepted as fact. This methodology relies on exploiting information imbalances between Wall Street and Main Street. The window of time between when information first emerges in everyday life and when it reaches financial professionals. To exploit information arbitrage, you must heighten your senses to recognize potential game-changing information in your daily life. Like a scientist or detective, Chris has honed his ability to see extraordinary investment potential in what others view as ordinary, what he calls viewing the world through investor's glasses. This requires critical observation, the first step in the scientific method of information arbitrage. When you find yourself asking, could what I'm seeing materially impact a company's sales or profits, you've made an investing observation. The Michelle Obama-J. Crew connection exemplifies a missed investment opportunity that was hiding in plain sight. When the First Lady wore J. Crew on The Tonight Show and during the inauguration, it triggered unprecedented demand. Each time the Obama family appeared in J. Crew clothing, items would immediately sell out online. Between the inauguration and J. Crew's surprise earnings announcement, the stock climbed 186%, eventually reaching nearly $50 per share, a five-fold increase that Chris missed completely. Conducting due diligence on investment observations is more like investigating a crime scene than performing a financial audit. When observations lead to unanswered questions, investors should propose hypotheses, possible explanations that can be proven correct or incorrect through investigation. After spotting unusually long lines at a Coach store during a recession-era holiday season when other stores were empty, Chris developed five possible hypotheses: superior seasonal products boosting sales, a trading down effect from higher-end retailers, ineffective discounting, normal holiday traffic, or an anomaly unique to that particular store. For an observation to qualify as a worthwhile information arbitrage investment, it must lead to a hypothesis that is game-changing for the company and not yet accepted as fact by Wall Street. Like crime scene investigators who use focused flashlights to examine evidence without bias, investors must scrutinize their hypotheses impartially. Personal predispositions can derail your ability to interpret evidence objectively. Your demographic represents only a small slice of the consumer market. To test his coach hypothesis, Chris visited a dozen stores across North Texas and enlisted his network to check nearly a dozen more in six states. Almost every Coach store had lines spilling out the door while neighboring retailers remained empty. Speaking with store clerks revealed the truth. Neither of his initial hypotheses were correct. The recession wasn't causing luxury shoppers to trade down to Coach. Rather, Coach's own customers were trading down from expensive handbags to lower-priced accessories like bracelets, wallets, and fragrances, and buying them in volume. Working through dead-end observations isn't wasted time. It's essential training for recognizing truly game-changing opportunities. Game-changing information fundamentally impacts a company's sales significantly enough to move stock prices. Size matters. What's game-changing for a small company might barely register for a giant corporation. Sometimes geopolitical events create investment opportunities. 9/11 triggered renewed focus on airport security, rewarding investors in bomb detection equipment company Envision with tenfold returns within a year. Policy changes matter too. Obama's 2009 pledge to computerize American health records doubled Cerner Corporation's stock price in 10 months. These opportunities can be found anywhere, from office conversations to mall observations, drive-through windows to presidential speeches. Successful investing requires two steps. First, developing a proven, game-changing hypothesis, and second, verifying that Wall Street remains unaware of your discovery. Wall Street professionals aren't infallible. Their accuracy decreases when dealing with seemingly unimportant matters, as the best analysts focus where the most money is at stake. This creates opportunities in smaller, lesser-known companies where information imbalances are more common. Even giant companies can present information imbalances when Wall Street's biases blind them to cultural shifts. Apple exemplifies this perfectly. Despite being one of the world's largest companies with $50+ billion in annual revenue and coverage from 40 prestigious investment firms, Wall Street consistently underestimated consumer passion for Apple products. Chris's personal journey from PC devotee to Apple convert mirrored a broader consumer shift. First watching friends switch to Macs despite his resistance, then discovering through focus groups how emotionally teenagers connected to Apple products. Young consumers viewed computers not as productivity tools, but as personal gateways to their social lives, making Apple's premium price irrelevant compared to the superior experience. Wall Street's male-dominated, business-focused mindset missed this emotional connection, obsessing instead over technical specifications and missing features. While analysts fixated on non-removable batteries and premium pricing, they failed to recognize how product evangelists like 11-year-old Emily doing her happy dance with a new iPod would drive Apple's extraordinary success. To confirm your investment hypothesis, you must analyze it from Wall Street's perspective. The iPhone case perfectly illustrates information arbitrage. Despite being one of the world's most scrutinized companies, Apple presented massive information imbalances. Numerous experts predicted the iPhone's failure. Edward Zabitsky called it a bandwidth hog. Roger McName claimed early adopters would abandon it. And even Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer declared no chance it would gain significant market share. Yet, reality proved them wrong. By November 2008, iPhone became America's best-selling phone, later conquering Japan and Korea with 50 million handsets sold by April 2010. This disconnect between expert predictions and market reality created the perfect investment opportunity. This demonstrates that even large companies can present information imbalances when their innovations fall outside Wall Street's comfort zone. Opportunities that helped Chris's $20,000 portfolio to over $2 million. Just as we can use the 100x multiplier effect with money saved for investments, we can multiply our observational power by leveraging our personal networks. Everyone in your daily life, family, friends, coworkers, service providers, can help widen your range of observation and increase your chances of discovering game-changing information. Beyond physical proximity, the internet and social networks dramatically expand your virtual network, connecting you to an almost limitless source of potential investment opportunities. Discovering investment opportunities often comes from unexpected sources within your personal network. Taking his gamer brother to the E3 conference exposed Chris to Nintendo's revolutionary Wii console, which industry experts dismissed as underpowered compared to Sony's PS3 and Microsoft's Xbox 360. Yet experiencing the Wii's motion-sensing controller firsthand revealed its game-changing potential to industry outsiders like himself. Nintendo defied expectations by selling more Wii consoles than Sony and Microsoft combined in its launch year, eventually reaching 70 million units worldwide. Nintendo's stock soared from under $15 to over $70 in 2 years. In our instant gratification world, you can leverage online technology to discover game-changing information before it reaches information parity. Facebook exemplifies this potential. A friend's post about her children's obsession with Chuggington, a new children's show, led Chris to investigate Ludorum, the small British production company behind it. After confirming his hypothesis through Facebook conversations with other parents, he invested in Ludorum, whose stock climbed nearly 50% within months as the show gained popularity in North America. Investor social networks have transformed investing for over 15 years, creating unprecedented real-time global information sharing among investors. Like the gold rush of 1848, stock message boards contain valuable information waiting to be discovered by those willing to sift through the noise. Despite seeming counterintuitive to share investment insights with strangers who could compete for the same shares, there are compelling reasons to participate in stock message boards. Investors seek validation of their research, value the karmic benefits of sharing information, and appreciate the time advantage gained through collaborative intelligence. This co-opetition, cooperation among competitors toward a common goal, creates a powerful information funnel that even Google can't replicate. The crowd becomes a discovery tool that helps uncover new information and possibilities, though one should maintain critical thinking rather than blindly following collective opinion. After identifying a promising opportunity, you need to determine the best way to invest your hard-earned other people's money to get the biggest possible return. Buying shares directly is straightforward, but requires understanding what stock ownership actually represents. Share price alone doesn't indicate company size. A $3 stock with a billion outstanding shares represents a $3 billion company, while a $30 stock with only 100,000 shares equals just a $3 million company. When buying stock, you must decide between market orders, accepting the current price, and limit orders, setting maximum buy or minimum sell prices. Market orders work well for liquid stocks, where the bid-ask spread is tight. Limit orders are better when trading large positions in thinly traded stocks to avoid moving the price against yourself. While doubling your money through direct stock purchases is good, there's a way to multiply returns dramatically through leverage. Call options give you the right, but not obligation, to buy stock at a predetermined price within a specific time frame. A typical $100 option investment might control $1,000 of stock. If that stock doubles, you'd make a $1,000 profit from your $100 investment, 10 times what direct stock ownership would yield. When purchasing options, you select from various strike prices offered in $2.50 increments. Call options with strike prices below the current stock price have intrinsic value and are in the money, more expensive but requiring smaller stock movements to profit. Options with strike prices above the current stock price are out of the money, cheaper but needing significant price increases to become profitable. Option contracts typically expire on the third Friday of each month. The more time remaining until expiration, the more valuable and costly the contract. Time value gradually erodes to zero by expiration date, leaving only intrinsic value, if any. Chris generally purchases options with 6 to 9 month expirations, giving ample time for the market to recognize the information imbalance he's identified. Put option contracts are the opposite of call options. They give owners the right to sell shares at a predetermined price within a specific time frame. Unlike calls that rise with stock prices, puts increase in value when stock prices fall. With every stock option investment comes the real possibility of losing 100% of your original investment, far more likely than with direct stock purchases. This is why leveraged investments should come from your big money account funded with other people's money that you're not afraid to lose. Once you develop investor's glasses, you'll see opportunities everywhere. Chris's wife, Amy, the star of his trend spotting network, now emails him potential investment ideas like innovative baby bottles. After purchasing a Tempur-Pedic Cloud mattress, their new softer line that addressed the firmness complaints of their traditional foam mattresses, Chris discovered the company's stock had doubled from $15 to $30 in the year since launching this crowd-pleasing product. He realized he'd missed countless opportunities to uncover this game-changing information despite walking past mattress stores regularly. Self-directed amateur investors regularly outsmart Wall Street professionals. Chris Stone, a trade show display builder, noticed a small client called Getty Images rapidly expanding their trade show presence in 1996. After researching the company's growing online stock photography business, he invested in 1999 and eventually sold for a seven-figure return as Getty consolidated the fragmented industry during the web explosion. During medical school, Laurent Lucas discovered that many surgical problems stem from access issues rather than the operation itself. Decades later, when computerized surgery emerged in the 1990s, he recognized its potential to reduce these problems and invested heavily in computer motion and intuitive surgical despite widespread skepticism. The companies eventually merged, doubling their share value. Lucas sold half to secure profits, while the remaining half earned him approximately $3 million, proving the value of his unconventional reading choices from his student days. In 2009, MBA student Fan Huang joined an online community of biotech investors who called themselves the DNDN Pirates. Through collaborative research and statistical analysis, this diverse group, including a stay-at-home dad, ex-nurse, cancer survivors, engineers, and retirees, identified Dendrion, DNDN, as severely undervalued. While Wall Street analysts dismissed the company's cancer immunotherapy as junk science, the Pirates accumulated shares at $2. When positive trial results emerged in April 2009, the stock skyrocketed to $20 and eventually $55. Their success came from leveraging their community's varied perspectives and real-world insights, something Wall Street fundamentally lacked. Every self-directed investor experiences defining moments, missed opportunities, successful picks, doubled investments, and painful losses. These experiences build the confidence needed to act on your research, even when it contradicts Wall Street's consensus. With your new investor's glasses, even mundane moments become interesting, but give yourself time to adjust. Focus on products and trends unfamiliar to Wall Street's core demographic of affluent urban men. Trust your observations over financial pundits. Research with scientific rigor, pursuing only game-changing information not yet widely accepted. Use the 100x money multiplier to fund your big money account and consider options to maximize returns. Sell when your information becomes common knowledge. Start small, but start now. And remember, your greatest advantage comes from leveraging your personal networks. Together, self-directed investors outnumber and out-diversify all Wall Street experts combined.